chromosomes. Little strands of nucleic acids and proteins are the fundamental genetic instructions that tell us who we are at birth. Most people are born with 46 chromosomes, but each year in the United States, about 6,000 people are born with an extra chromosome, making them a person with Down syndrome. If you've ever encountered someone with Down syndrome, you know that they are some of the kindest, most joyful people you will ever meet. They truly have something extra. My name is Lisa Nichols, and I have spent the last 24 years as both the CEO of Technology Partners and as the mother to Allie. Allie has something extra in every sense of the word. I have been blessed to be by her side as she impacts everyone she meets. Through these two important roles as CEO and mother to Allie, I have witnessed countless life lessons that have fundamentally changed the way I look at the world. While you may not have an extra chromosome, every leader has something extra that defines who you are. Join me as I explore the something extra in leaders from all walks of life and discover how that difference in each of them has made a difference in their companies, their families, their communities, and in themselves. I'm thrilled to have Dave Williams on the show today. Dave is the Senior Vice President of Corporate IT Operations and Employee Experience for MasterCard. If you like this episode today, please go to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen and leave us a 5-star rating. So Dave, I am so excited to have you on the Something Extra podcast. Thank you so much for making the time to be on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, we are going to have a lot of fun. You and I recently met through some mutual friends, but you are with MasterCard, which is a longtime client of ours, but you're sitting in Kansas City. You're not sitting in the O'Fallon office. So it's really fun that we can do this through technology.
Totally agree. And the cool thing about Kansas City that most people don't know, but MasterCard does have a presence here. It's one of the largest co-processing centers in the world that most people didn't even, you know about. But then over the last, 10, 11 years, we helped build that facility, make it what it is today.
Yes. And I know you've been a big part of that. So we've got so much to talk about technology-wise, leadership-wise, all kinds of things. But I want you to take us back. Tell us a little bit about your growing up.
Yeah. So I grew up in Olathe, Kansas. Kind of comical. That's where I live now. Never thought I would come back when I was growing up. Was always a KU fan, which unfortunately, I'm not a KU fan anymore. I went to K-State, Kansas State University in Manhattan, because when we did university tours, I decided it was much easier to walk across campus in 10 minutes than, having to drive my car around campus at KU. Plus, I really wanted to get away and try to grow up and be less dependent. And so I chose Kansas State University. I chose journalism, mass communications, with a minor actually in criminology. So another thing that most people don't know, every time we would travel, I always looked at billboards and was like, man, that is so fascinating. That is such a cool ad. I would watch every ad on TV, listen to every ad on the radio and be like, oh, I want to do that someday. In my senior year, I actually had an intern with Barclay and Evergreen, which was the number two ad agency in Kansas City and was known, throughout the country. And I learned quickly that I was not going to make it very big unless I became an ad agency partner. And so I was like, well, darn, I've already finished almost 3 years of schooling. I've got 1 year left. What am I going to do now? And I decided, you know what? I'm still going to continue on because I really think between journalism and communications and the advertising background, it's still exciting. I'm going to continue on and finish my career and see where, the good Lord takes me. And so I did. Right after, I kind of worked for my parents for, about probably a good year. And then after that, I got on at Sprint. At the time, my father worked for Sprint, was pretty high up. My father said, I taught you to work hard. I will not hand anything to you, and you will learn to get yourself in the door. You cannot use me as a reference. And I appreciated that. And so I did. I started at the lowest levels in sales, inbound sales for Sprint. I will give one known fact. Do not come out of college and be a cocky person and think you know it all in your first job in your first year, because I almost got terminated after 11 months at Sprint. I don't know if I should say this or not, but I will, because I don't want others to make the same mistake I did. And so this lady had called in, fairly older lady, was very aggravated me a lot, was poking me at every angle. And I told her, you know what? I apologize, but Sprint really doesn't want your kind. So we appreciate you staying with AT&T and I appreciate your call. Come to find out, she was one of the top shareholders for Sprint.
Oh my word.
And she had called in to push every button that she could to see how, you know, how well our sales agents would do.
How you would react.
So HR brought me into their office with my director of sales and said, you know, Dave, since you are a good salesperson and you've done well so far, you're lucky that you're not being terminated. But all I can do is encourage you to do better and never talk to a customer that way again. And that was a turning point for me, because to sit in an office of an executive or senior management was a huge eye opener, you know, for somebody coming out of college thinking that they know it all, you know. And I would suggest meeting with people at every level to understand the job and what the expectations are as you grow in your career. So lesson learned, I turned around immediately, started figuring out, okay, what do I really want to do at Sprint? And really wanted to get in the network, started networking with the HR departments, moved on within that year to business operations, went up and met with the VP of operations and said, hey, I want to be you. So I want your job in the future. How do I do it? And he's like, you're a bold person. And, you know, I commend you for coming in here, because out of my 25 years of experience, only you're the number 13 person that's been able to come to my office and say, hey, I want your job. How do I do it? And so he became my mentor, also put me in the executive program. So I started learning leadership, and they kept saying, no, I think I'm ready for a manager. He goes, no, Dave, you're going to start off as a supervisor. There was my moment again of, this is where I think I should be, but this is where they really feel I should be, because you really need to start at the lowest level in management to learn everything that's involved, from coaching to feedback to just the basics. And if you skip a level, you miss out, because every level has been so critical in my career to learn and to seek feedback from mentors and strong bosses. And so I learned through some of that, through my journey. You know, I learned from one of my strongest mentors there at Sprint too. He told me early in my career when I started the executive program, he said, Dave, I want you to take one lesson away and please pass this on. I want you to watch every leader that is not successful, and I want you to figure out why. I want you to talk to their employees. I want you to talk to their management team and figure out what they're doing wrong. And then I want you to look at all those leaders that are succeeding, and I want you to learn why. And I want you to talk to their employees, and I want you to talk to them to figure out what they're doing that makes them so different from the rest of the tribe or the crew or what have you. And I took that to heart, and I've done it ever since in my leadership career.
Right. What are some of the things? And I mean, obviously you can't be extensive with all of that, I'm sure, but as you started doing that, what are some of the things that you saw where a leader was missing something, or, you know, where they were not successful, and then contrast that with the ones that were?
So I have a great example, and this worked out perfectly. It was a true blessing, the advice that he had given me. So I started off, I was in the network now. I had a manager and a director that we were working fiber cuts, you know, doing plans, coming up with the drawings on how to route traffic when fiber cuts would occur. And I had a manager and a director that would just come in and be over your shoulder and is like, what are you doing? Are you sure you're doing it right? You know, and just micromanaging me. And I was learning through the program that, you know, gosh, this is something you can't do. And I would try to give feedback that you have to realize that the job we're in and fiber's cut and people are down and trying to get services restored, I have got to really focus on my job and I can't have you breathing over my neck. And they're like, well, that's just our job to make sure you're doing the job right. And I said, I get that. But it really taught me about somebody that's a micromanager and what not to do. And then the director would always pull me in and say, I'm not sure if you did it the right way, or, you know, here's the way I would do it. And he really treated people but not a whole lot of respect. And I remember one day turning to him and saying, hey, my piece of advice to you, and I know you're a director and I appreciate your role, but one thing that I would like you to take away is be careful on how you treat others, because someday you might just have to work for them.
That's right. I've seen it happen.
The funny thing about that, months later, he was reporting to me and he was like, okay, now I'm really concerned, Dave. What's going to happen? And I said, you know, I can tell you I'm all about respect. I can tell you I'm about growing leader and trying to enhance my skills. And I don't ever hold grudges. And so what I can tell you is what my expectations are, and I'm going to help you succeed in your career. And so that was pretty cool. It was a cool lesson and something that was, you know, I've been able to share with others throughout my, you know, mentee-mentor relationships throughout the years. Another key thing that one of my, you know, really good mentors too inside Sprint is, hey, you need to also remember to always mentee others. I always have a mentor inside, and I always want you to have a mentor outside, because then you have a different perspective. So when you do have some challenges inside that you might be cautious sometimes to share with your inside mentor, leverage that outside mentor, because they have a different perspective and they're not inside the walls. And so I've always done that. I've always had a mentor inside and a mentor outside to help me throughout my leadership career.
You know, I was just reading something earlier, and I was telling you one of the things I want to talk about today is trust. And we know that organizations where there's a high trust culture, they thrive. I mean, there's anecdotal evidence, you know, that this happens, right? And I was just reading something recently, and it said, if you want trust from your people, you have to also be willing to give them your trust. And whoever this leader was, that's what they were not doing. They were not giving you their trust to do your job. It's hard to have the trust the other way if it's a one-sided thing. So you and I have talked about trust and how you've built trust with your team. And I think you probably just gave us a little glimpse into how you've done that, because you do trust and empower your people.
Yeah, it's all about, you know, being transparent. Being transparent, building that trust early on, especially in the first days of any new job. At Sprint, I was brought in as, you know, every 18 months to come in and change the culture and change the operations and get the most out of it. So it was hard, because every 18 months I was going in and having to build that trust and build that relationship and the respect to get the employees to perform at the levels we wanted them to. And, you know, we were able to do that time and time again. You know, moved on from Sprint and went to Cellnet and a company that recently bought them called Landis and Gear. Was able to, you know, run their North America operations, and it was a lot of fun. Very stressful job, but a lot of fun. They were moving their things overseas, and, you know, I was asked to step down because they were moving it over to India, and I disagreed. And so at that time, I resigned, and I had 3 job offers from IBM, Accenture, and MasterCard. And at the time, my kids were fairly young. And one thing I will also say is, don't sacrifice your family. There's a reason you were blessed with family. I've tried to teach that to my boys. Just remember, I never sacrificed you for my career, but I am able to be blessed at the levels I am today because I followed that. And I think that's key. But the funny thing about, you know, the MasterCard thing, and I learned a year after I started, that the SVP and the CEO of my previous company had called the hiring manager that hired me and said, you would be crazy not to hire Dave Williams. He would only step down because he needed to, because he believed that we were doing the wrong thing, and we respected him for that. Not sure if I should share that.
No, I think we should.
But, you know, I can tell you, in my senior year of my last advertising class, my professor said, I don't care how good you are, how smart you are, how well off you are. One time in your career, you will either be terminated, fired, or asked to resign. Don't take it personal. Jump back on the horse and ride off again, and make sure you make every effort to get that next job. Don't let it define you.
Right.
I took that advice. I remembered that day.
That's awesome. The other lesson there, Dave, seriously, is never, ever, ever burn a bridge. Your former boss called and said, you'd be crazy not to hire Dave. And so that kind of thing happens all the time. You and I see it all the time, right? Where maybe even we're looking to hire somebody, and that person doesn't know it, but I know somebody else that knows that person. I get third-party referrals all the time, you know? So it's like, try to leave every relationship, every place. I mean, my personal mission has been for a long time to leave people better than I find them. But for our listeners, leave your organization better than when you came in there. But you know what, Dave, we've got so much more to talk about. We've got so much more, but we do need to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Dave Williams. Hi, everybody. I just wanted to take a second and tell you about something our team at Technology Partners can do for your business. We have spent over 2 decades partnering with organizations and helping them solve their IT needs from a 360-degree perspective. A huge part of how we solve those needs is by developing custom applications of all shapes and sizes. If your team is looking for software and an out-of-the-box solution just isn't right, it's time to consider how we might be able to help. Go to tpi.co/custom apps and learn more about our awesome capabilities. So, Dave, you are the Senior VP of Corporate IT Operations and an Employee Experience. Can you unpack that for our listeners? What exactly does that mean?
It's basic corporate IT. I manage the corporate IT operations globally for MasterCard. We run 5 different regions, 30-something thousand employees, and my team's responsible to make sure that the consumers, their PC device, their mobile device, their apps, their tools that they need to do their job anywhere on any device, anywhere in the world, where they can do their job effectively. And that's our goal. And that's where employee experience comes into play. I was part of the employee digital experience group for many years, and we kind of spun off into operations because that's really what we do. Because I run the level 1, level 2 support teams, which really means the help desk. When you call in, you need something with the help desk, or you need field tech at your desk because you've got some problems with your device, or you want to go to a tech bar that we've opened up. Also support the executives in that across the globe. Used to manage desktop engineering, or tier 3, spun that off so that they could follow the engineering standards. But like I said, it's basically corporate IT in a nutshell, just making sure that the employees, have a great experience and can perform their job when they have problems that were just a phone call or a chat away, to be able to assist them.
So right now, I think you have like a budget of $200 million. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. So, you've got a whole team of people on your bus that you're leading, right?
Yes.
Dave, what is your leadership philosophy? Everybody has one, but what is yours?
The most important thing for my team, and I think any of them, if you question them or interviewed them, it'd all be about, Dave is really about transparency. He's really about honesty. He's a true man of integrity. He expects a lot of us, but at the same time, he trusts us. He doesn't micromanage us, and he really empowers us to do our job. And he sets the expectations very well. I do know how stressful the job is. We fight fires every day. The one thing I tell my team is I don't want you to stress about it. I had a really good friend, colleague of mine that told me, hey, Dave, we don't save lives. Just remember that when your crew gets totally stressed out and they feel like they're at wit's end. I notice that. And I try to be mindful of that and remind them that, hey, we don't save lives. Don't get too stressed about it. We fight fires every day. What's most important for me is that you're happy, and that you come to work every day and you feel like you're getting your best foot forward. And that's what's important. And I think, one of the things too that I try to remind them is, if you're not happy, you got to talk to me about it. Even if you report under my organization, don't ever feel that you can't come talk to me about it, or that you just need to vent. I'm here so that you can vent. I'm not going to hold it against you at year end.
Yes.
I'm here to be a leader. And that's kind of what I've told my team, what I've tried to really instill in my team. Because when I was asked to take over corporate IT, I said, why me? And the reason for that is because I did 20 years of operations. And I'm like, well, IT is just reboot your computer. Did that work? And that drove me nuts. And they treated us like a number. And what the senior execs and executives told me, said, Dave, you've done so well at communicating with our customers and our production side. You care about people, and you have 2 President's Awards because of your leadership style. So we really feel that you're the best fit to run our corporate IT, because we believe you're going to care about the people. And so that was one of the first challenges we had to do, was come in and really change the mindset that you can't treat them like they're numbers anymore. Gone are the days our employees are numbers. They are actually a consumer and a user. If it wasn't for them, we wouldn't have a job. So let's remember that. The most important thing is the employee experience. We got to make it the best job they can, support them the best we can so that they can do their job and not have to stress about, oh my gosh, I can't do this because it's not functioning the way I need it to.
Exactly. Well, and I was just thinking, going back to your education, mass communications, and I think about that with IT. It's not just the technical skills. There's these core competencies that are so critical to be successful. And one of those is excellent communication skills. Your education, Dave, has come full circle, with what you're doing today.
Yeah, I think that definitely helps. And, I think the other thing too is knowing that you have staff around the world. I got people in AP that, on the other side of the world, and being respectful of their time. And when you need to meet, and adjusting your hours, even if it means I have to meet at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock at night, so that they're not up at their late hours or early morning. And remember that, hey, I'm a leader. It's my job to make it convenient for them. It's my job to be available and not just about me.
Right.
And it should never be about me. It should be about them.
Well, I'm going to put a label on you. You're a servant leader. I mean, you're about serving your team. So that sums up your leadership philosophy, is that you are there to serve your team and to help your team optimize and be the best version of them. You know, and I know we've already talked about this a lot, and I know how important mentoring, mentee, you know, having mentees is to you. I'm going to give a shout out because I know that one of your role models for leadership is our mutual friend, Gary Vanderhaar.
Yes.
And you and I have talked about Gary, and he has been a role model for leadership for you and a mentor for you. Can you like give one or two pieces of advice that Gary's given you over the years that has really helped kind of guide you and steer you?
I'll tell you what I love about Gary. He's very transparent, and he's very good at being a leader, and he's very good at giving back. And it's really important to have a mentor that you have a lot of respect for and somebody that invests their time in you. And Gary is really good at investing time. And what I've learned over the years is I went through some difficult situations with some leadership in my past. And Gary was very transparent with me. And even when I was venting, I knew it was being protected. That says a lot about the person he is. And that's where I think it's very critical. When you're a mentor, when it's confidential, you need to keep it confidential. They picked you and selected you for a reason. And that's one of the things that I really talk about with my mentees now, from the Next Generation Leader to the TechLX programs, and even some of the others from other companies. I just say, hey, just know that whatever's said here is almost like Vegas. It is confidential. It will not get back, because this is about you and I and trying to help each other. And Gary will even say, hey, I learned from you, Dave. Not true. I learned a lot from Gary. He's been one of the best mentors I had in the company. I mean, I had Edgar Aguilar, who's another great mentor. I had Dana Lordberg, who was another great mentor. I've had some incredible mentors throughout my career at 11 years at MasterCard. And they're just great leadership. And that's why I said I love the MasterCard family.
I love that. If you are a listener and you do not have a mentor, find one. And what I always say, sometimes people say, well, how do you even find one? I say, look around and kind of back to one of your first bosses said, go and look at leaders, look at the ones that, you know, are being successful. Find somebody that you admire, find somebody that you respect, find somebody that's doing good things, and then go ask them. I mean, people can't read your mind, right? And I always say the worst thing that could happen, they can say, right now, I would love to. I'm too busy. I can't take it on right now. That's the worst thing that can happen. That's fine. And it may not even be not ever. It could be just not now, because that leader could be in a crazy season of their life.
Well, most people are excited to be a mentor because they feel like, oh, that's a nice, you know, compliment. You know, I get to mentor somebody else. And that's a requirement for any of my leadership team. They must have a mentor and they need to have a mentee. And I truly love that you said servant leader, because I truly believe that, and Leadership by the Good Book truly teaches that. And that's something that, you know, I've tried to tell all my management team and anybody that I mentor. Just remember, you're a leader, and our job as a leader is to give back and to create the next level, and to always be, you know, working hard to do our jobs, but to put ourselves out of a job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know you and I have talked about that. Well, my good friend Jeff Henderson wrote the book Four. What he talks about in there is, he said, the best thing that you can do for your organization, the best thing you can do for your team, your community, your family, is to give them the best version of you. And you and I have talked about this. We are human. I know that there's days where I'm like, oh, I'm a little lackluster, you know, maybe in my passion for that day or my energy. And I always talk about managing your energy. Sometimes I think the best thing that we can do, Dave, is take a nap. You know, seriously. But I just want to ask you, if you go into it with that mindset that you want to show up as the best version of you for your team, how does Dave Williams do that personally? How do you stay motivated? How do you stay energized personally?
You know, that's a good question. And I will tell you, you know, being in operations, fighting fires every day, I think what excites me is never is there the same day. And I have a choice every morning that I wake up. I can either wake up and, you know, be upset. I can wake up and be happy. But I learned early on from the higher power that I was put in a role of leadership for a reason. And it's my call of duty. And what I learned is I've got to be my best version every single day. Because no matter what's going on, even in the background, I've got to be my best version, because I have to be the example for the rest of my team across the globe. And if I'm not, they're going to sense it and they're going to be concerned. And so I try to wake up every day knowing that I'm here for a reason. I'm blessed to have another day and I'm excited to come into work. And I just want to empower my people throughout the day and help them. And so it's really a choice is what it comes down to. And that's the choice I make every morning.
Yeah, boy, that is a loaded topic right there. It's a choice.
It is. And it's a tough one too, because sometimes you have to just bite your tongue and be like, oh, it's such a hard day today, but I know that I'm in front of all of them. Even today with COVID and being on video with everybody, you really got to just grit your teeth and just put on your best self to not let them down.
Right, for sure.
And that's the thing about being a leader.
Yeah. I do think every now and then it's okay to be authentic and vulnerable and say, yeah, you have to put your best self. But, you know, it's okay to say, hey, I'm just going to tell you guys, I'm really tired today. You know, I didn't get enough sleep, or, oh my goodness, my kids are driving me crazy. Or whatever the case may be.
Yep.
But let me ask you, this is called something extra. What do you believe is the something extra that every leader needs?
I'll tell you what, Lisa, I came up with two, so I'm going to break the rules.
Okay. Go ahead.
I felt like, oh, I got to bring them both up. I'll tell you what, we are leaders. If you think you're a manager, director, VP, SVP, you're wrong. We're a leader. And leaders are called to be examples of the next generation for the consumers and their teams. And that's one critical point. But as leaders, we have to have passion. We always had to have passion for our job. That is key. But now, what we've gone through in the last year and a half, I have learned that we have to have compassion as well, because we've had to be on video. We've had to be worried about their families, their siblings, what's going on in their personal life as well, to give them that fine work-life balance during this difficult time. And as a leader, I really learned to kick in the more compassion. And even my wife has noticed it, because I could be pretty hands-off, not so compassionate. But during all this time and being with them and listening to them and checking in on how they're doing, how their family's doing, I would say passion and be compassionate. I would say my second one, which I think I've already said, the key thing that every leader needs, be a mentor. You need to give back. You were blessed in the position you're in. Bless others and teach them how to go where you've gone. And I would say you always need to have a mentor inside and outside. That is what I believe is the reason I'm where I'm at today, because all the guidance I got from inside and outside.
Great advice, Dave. What are you most excited about right now? And how can our listeners get involved?
There's two programs that I'm really getting into.
Yes.
I'm really excited that I just got partnered with Next Generation Leaders and Inspire CIOs. I'm becoming part of the KCCIO chapter, which is exciting. But I'm really excited because I'm getting to mentor another set of senior management members to get them to the next level. And that is so awesome to me, because I truly believe to this day in what I tell everybody, it's all about giving back. Give back in your communities, but also give back as leaders to develop that next generation of leaders. And I love what the name they came up with, but also excited about the TechLX. I mentor people in that program as well.
Yes, I'm so glad you're part of that.
Yeah, and it's just two great programs. Those are things I'm excited about, because we're putting people in management and even individual contributors. And I'm talking to other people throughout the city about these are two great programs to help people, and people are giving back to, you know, really develop the next leaders in our city. So that's really what I'm kind of excited about right now.
Yeah, we're so excited about that. I mean, it's building a community. And we know, you know, I've talked about this a lot. We were meant for community. We were meant for this robust ecosystem that we're building. So we are very excited about those two things as well. As you know, we're doing those in St. Louis. But Dave, this has been so much fun for me. I hope it's been fun for you. I know our listeners are going to benefit from hearing your story. So I just want to thank you again, just for making the time to be on the show today.
No, I truly appreciate it. And I thank the world of you, Lisa. So thank you.
Very good.
Thank you for listening to today's show. Something Extra with Lisa Nichols is a Technology Partners production. Copyright Technology Partners, Inc., 2019. For show notes or to reach Lisa, visit tpi.co/podcast. Don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you listen.